a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. I would like to say that I'm going to be the most, or we, my guest and I, or my co-host, I should say, actually, since he's left guest status way behind in the rearview mirror, are going to have the most challenging, thought-provoking, make-you-scratch-your-head conversations that you've ever heard. But with some of what's going on today and some of what's going on in the social media and some of the current insanity, I think that there are a lot of bloody scalps out there from getting scratched. So I want to, first of all, remind people this is a live call-in show, so you can be part of this conversation. Remember, the world is going to go on with or without you, but if it goes on without you, shut up. I don't want to hear what you have to say. If you're not going to stand up, speak out, be part of the change, then you're part of the problem. Get the hell out of my way. So call in. Be part of the conversation. Be part of the discussion. Be part of the change. Change is desperately needed at this time, and everybody wants to comment on it, and they want to post in their social media line, and they want to grumble, and they want to grump, and they want to take snipes at each other, and they want to unfriend each other, and they want to do all of these just really, I don't know, I think it's about middle school level crap.
Mm.
But they're not getting together to make real change. Because real change is a commitment, it's a responsibility, and it's scary. And it's much easier to point fingers and stick out tongues and talk smack, most of which is wrong, because the last time that the national media gave us a true story that was 100% accurate without any bias, it was by accident. It's only because it slipped through. So let's be really clear that there is layers and loads and pounds of crap and manure and fear and intimidation and bribery checks and ownership and who's got whose nose up whose butt that all affects what we're hearing from media. So, you know, when we have my load of crap session, we can always start any load of crap session with public media, number one load of crap. Government, number two biggest load of crap. So call in, make a difference, call in show, or come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. Look for the posting on today's show, and you can comment on that line, and we will share on air. I have somebody today who is my regular Thirst Quenching Thursday, first of the month buddy, none other than Matt Connerton Unleashed. Matt, how are you?
Good, good. I'm good and thirsty.
Good, good. And as you can tell, I'm kind of mellow, laid back, and I'm not feeling like I have any strong opinions today. Could you tell that?
Right. Yeah, you're like Dr. Ben Carson. You speak as though you just woke up from a nap.
Well, you know, I think that there are a lot of people right now that are napping. I think they're going to wake up. And they're going to say, oh, it was just a nightmare, right? It was just a nightmare, right? It was just a nightmare, right? Yeah, no, it wasn't just a nightmare. It was the real deal. And if you choose to sleep through it, then you deserve the hangover you end up with. So, Mr. Matt, tell me, how are things going on in your world today? How are things going on at IPM Nation? And what are you doing to bring change to the world?
Yeah, things are good. Things have been very, very busy, of course. Very busy time of year, and you know, I still do my show, Matt Connerton Unleashed. We've got the radio version that runs on IPM Nation weeknights at 11 p.m. and the television edition, which you've been on a couple times, of course, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. on IPM Nation, and of course, you have an open invitation, Dr. Kevin. Anytime you want to show up for the TV show, you're welcome to. But yeah, so that's my little contribution to the world as far as trying to make change. That's why I called the show Matt Connerton Unleashed, because I just say whatever I'm thinking without any real regard for people's judgments or, you know, sometimes people want to put me in a particular box politically that I don't think I fit in, but you know, I just say whatever I'm thinking. And it by the way, too, you mentioned social media and the way people interact on social media and how it can be, you know, really destructive and whatnot. I don't, you've probably noticed this, Dr. Kevin. I don't post much political things on social media. I tend to save it for the show because I find the very thing that you were talking about, it gets very discouraging. If you post something political on Facebook, you might get an interesting discussion going amongst multiple people who will disagree and whatnot. But eventually, and sometimes almost immediately, it just devolves into name calling and people hurling insults at each other just because they disagree. And plus, there's been the recent rise in anti-Semitism on social media, which is really frightening. So I save it all for the shows, and like your show, when I come on your show every first Thursday of every month, and my own shows, of course.
Well, you know, I think that you. You know, I think that people are going to have to decide whether they're going to take responsibility for their social media or not. It's, you know, social media, having social media is kind of sort of like having a child with disabilities. your parenting of it can never go away.
Right.
There's always going to be some parenting. There's always going to have to be some, just keep an eye open. And you have to look that, you know, not about good or bad or greater than or less than, but that we're talking about seriously a handicap or a disability, because there are people who immediately, especially if they can do it from a distance, if they can do it while they're in, you know, while they're hanging out in their private little man cave or their little boudoir parlor or in their parents' cellar and stir up all sorts of crap, who wouldn't say booty when they walk out on the street?
Absolutely.
Their communication level is literally handicapped.
And Dr. Kevin, I was just going to say, even people who know each other personally, In you know, real life, will behave toward each other in a manner on social media that they never would, you know, face to face. It's remarkable.
So I'm not just saying that I'm always completely accept. I don't say that I completely always do this. I do it to the best of my ability. I do it to the best of my time allowance. But I'm pretty good at policing my stuff. And I consistently put down, I only want facts. I don't want bashing. I don't want to hear this. And if you do, you'll be deleted. And if you do it again, you'll be blocked. And I'm dead serious. And I will delete people's stuff when they go into crap land. And I started doing that before the elections because I would make posts that would upset people because I'd be like, you realize that we weren't founded as a Christian nation, right? That's a fantasy fiction that's been told to you from the pulpit. That has no reality basis. In fact, anybody that has the capability of reading, which I know is actually in some religions forbidden, you know, reading anything outside of prescribed text, you know,
right.
It would be bright enough to realize that actually the founding fathers were scared. Many of the founding fathers were scared of religious kooks, which is why they created separation of church and state. And when I would start to put out like facts, I would get, you know, like this dribble of somehow, because it was put in on printed pieces of paper in a book that had a black binding on it that said Holy Bible, that somehow all idea of sense or reason or knowledge or intelligence should go out the window and I should fall on my knees and say, oh, yes, you're correct. And you know what? My knees in that floor never hit.
Well, this is how they know, Dr. Kevin, for example, that climate change is a hoax. It's not in the Bible. God would have told us.
You know?
You know?
God tells us stuff all the time, and when you get your head out of your priest robes in your minister's robe and what was said 2,000 years ago, you'll find that God's been going for the last, at least 40, 50 years, if not longer, going, ugh, ugh, ugh. That's the sound of God's head hitting against the universe, going, would you listen to me now? If I was so right 2,000 years ago, how come I'm so wrong today? How come all my messages of love get forgotten? Go ahead.
But at least it's New Testament God, so he's gentle about it. Because Old Testament God, you know, you make him mad, and he would send a plague or some locust.
You know.
And nobody needs that, Dr. Kevin.
Well, you know.
I like New Testament God much better.
A little smoting can go a long way.
A little what?
Smoting, you know, you get smoted by God. I think it means burned in place or something. You ever heard
you
that?
You mean smiting?
Smiting, smoting. I always thought it was smoting. Is it smiting?
It's smiting. Yeah. Old Testament God was into the smiting. He'd send a flood.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bad one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to. Yeah, well, you know, and now when he wants to punish us, he just sends us politicians that we have to listen to or public media that we have to watch. And they're, you know, they've defined new ways of creating hell. And they seem
to, right.
And they come out of Washington and New York and L.A. and they permeate with, like, stupidity. So anyways, moving right along. So in the last, since we, and we're on to our first break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience in all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. The manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. Today is Thirst Quenching Thursday, which means it's the first Thursday of the month. And I bring on that troublemaker, that rabble-rouser, that, you know, unpatriotic Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. He says all sorts of inflammatory things. Hey, inflammatory, are you there?
I am. Some would call me unpatriotic, Dr. Kevin. I say I love my country, but, you know, this flag burning thing came up again, thanks to Trump, and it's unfortunate that our president-elect hasn't read the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, I think that Trump probably has an interesting library, and most of it doesn't have anything to do with how to be a good president. Just saying.
Does he read? I've never heard him even discuss any. He always says, the only time I've ever heard him discuss literature is when he's discussing The Art of the Deal, his book.
Oh, about how to, like, be vengeful and mean and manipulative and bully everybody so you can get what you want and feel good about yourself because you have no, like, humanistic qualities, that one?
Is that what it's about? I haven't read it.
I've only heard about it. I have a stack of books to read and a level of what I'm willing to read. And I think I've got that one somewhere between Pulp Fiction novels and Harlequin romances. I'm not sure.
Perfect.
Somewhere on the list there. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're going to do fantasy. You might as well have all your fantasy books together.
That's right.
So what do you do with a president who doesn't, a president-elect? Of course, there's a whole lot of talk and there's recounts going on and there's all sorts of stuff happening. And I don't really think it's going to make a difference, but I want to hear what you think.
Do you think the
recounts can actually make a difference?
No, not at all. It's impossible. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she would have to, all three states where these recounts are in motion, they would all have to flip to Hillary in order for her to become the president-elect. So, no, the recounts aren't going to matter. I certainly don't mind that they're happening. That's part of the election process. That's democracy in action. But, no, they're not going to make any difference. And, of course, there's also this movement to try to get electors when they go to cast their votes for the Electoral College to try to get them to not vote for Trump at that point, even though in many states state law requires them to do so. That's
Michigan?
Also not going anywhere. What's that?
You mean like Michigan?
I don't know about Michigan specifically. Why would he
Michigan
mean?
Is one of those states. Of course, that's one of those states that's up for grabs.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and I read I read something that this college kid who was honored with the role of being an electoral college voter, whatever they're called.
An elector.
Has been getting death threats, has literally got death threats.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. Wow, that's not good.
Yeah, he got death threats. He said, I didn't mind the, how can you be such a horrible person and all of the, other kind of like veiled threats and stuff like that. But there was actually some death threats. And he went had to go to the police and report them and said that, it's very interesting, but one of the things he said is, and if they read Michigan law, I have to vote how the voters voted. They're one of the states that has it in place, that however the voters voted, does it.
Right.
Now, I'm going to pull a hypothetical here, just a hypothetical, which is that what happens if they do the recount and they actually do discover that there was tampering with the Electoral College, with the electronic vote placement places. What happens if they actually prove that it was tampered with? What does that mean? And if they can trace it back to Trump, would that make him ineligible to be president?
It is an interesting hypothetical. It's something that's never never happened, really. I guess they would have to, I would think, in that case, if they were to discover something like that, they would have to rehold that election in that state. They'd have to have a do-over. But again, if it's only one state, it wouldn't be enough to affect the election. Now, if someone were able to prove that Trump somehow had something to do with it, which I think would be a pretty, even if he did, even if, let's say, hypothetically, this scenario played out, and he did have something to do with it, it would probably be a heavy lift to prove it. I don't know. It's an interesting hypothetical. And, well, you know, and it's not outside the realm of possibility. A lot of people are very concerned about fraud happening in that matter with the electronic vote machines. So I don't know. But I would imagine that it would probably be very hard to prove who is actually responsible for it, even if they were to find something, some sort of irregularity. I don't know. It'd be fascinating.
You know, of course, the discussion is, you know, could Russia have messed with the election? Now, we know that there is a lot of cyber terrorism going on. We know that there's a lot of attacks going on, of some kind. And so the question is that if they did, let's just say hypothetically, they find that it went back to Russia, and we know that Trump has strong Russian ties, does business with Russia, is in bed with Russia, you know.
I don't know about some of that's a little murky. I don't know if that's literally true. I know they tried to pin some of that on Paul Manafort when he was with the Trump campaign, and I know some of that didn't pan out. So I don't know. You know, I don't want to overstate his ties to Russia. A lot of that, to be fair, a lot of that's conjecture.
And that's what I don't know. And I'm okay with saying I don't know, but I mean, there was a thing that I read that, you know, Trump is assembling the wealthiest administration in U.S. history. Like, everybody that he's putting in his key positions, we're talking, are millionaires, if not billionaires.
Yeah.
And of course, that's being seen as a negative. I don't know. Is it? Are you less likely to get corrupted if you have more money than God and you don't know what to do with it anyways? Or do the bribes just need to be higher to get your attention?
I don't know. I mean, it probably depends on the individual, but I can tell you it certainly affects, I think, an individual's ability to understand and to empathize with what, you know, working middle class and poor people in this country have to deal with and what we go through on a daily basis, you know, if you're not wealthy. So I think it certainly skews their perspective in that way. I mean, obviously you have to look at the individual. I don't want to put all rich Trump appointees in one basket, in one basket of deplorables or anything like that. But that's a youth Hillary term. No, but you know, it depends on the individual. But it's not surprising to me, a rich guy with a lot of rich friends, and he's putting his rich friends in charge of stuff. I was hoping that he wouldn't do that, but that's what he's doing so far.
Okay. That's what he's doing so far. And he's saying that it's the way that he's not getting a whole administration full of nothing but political cronies that own their soul to whoever they're going to be lobbying for.
Right. Yeah, somewhat. I mean, because part of the problem, when, because originally with the transition, he had Chris Christie, you know, pre-election, Chris Christie was running the transition, heading the transition team, and Christie was putting in, you know, friends, a lot of lobbyists and people he owed favors to from New Jersey, you know, and then of course when Trump actually won the election and he put Mike Pence in charge of the transition, then Pence basically pre-fired everyone that Christie had lined up. So I don't know. I'm you know, it's like I said after the election, I'm trying to keep an open mind and be positive and say, you know, let's wait and see. But I'm not particularly impressed thus far with the people he's tapped for his administration.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of people that aren't happy with it. They say the pros and cons, but now there's this whole, is Mitt Romney in or is Mitt Romney out? There's the whole Conway. I mean, like, I think he went from nighttime television with Apprentice to afternoon soap opera drama. I think this should be called as The Stomach Turns. you know, and the infighting and the, you know, blah, 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 blah. Do you think that there is an intentionality in Trump, on Trump's part, to have internal strife within his administration? Because he thrives on chaos. I mean, we cannot avoid the truth. He strives on chaos. He thrives on it. Has he
built
him?
Well, there is the... Oh.
And we'll be right back.
Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. And today we have somebody that really knows how to stir the mud up, puts the stick in, and turns it up. Against my kind and gentle nature, who would never say a bad thing against anyone or anyone, or you know, but out of the goodness of my heart, I bring this man on just to irritate you and inflame you. Welcome back, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. How are you?
Good, thank you. I hope I can be sufficiently inflaming and irritating.
I have confidence in you because you know I'm kind of shy and quiet, and I'm not very good at that. So I count on you to.
Yes, you need me to kind of draw you out of your shell. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? Is Trump intentionally creating chaos in his own administration, or is he just so addicted to it that he doesn't realize it?
I don't know. I mean, there is the team of rivals theory, which I believe goes back to Lincoln. I think that's the first time that term was used, where you try to bring people in who don't necessarily agree. And I've heard some pro-Trump people kind of try to say that that's what Trump is doing. Obama kind of did that by bringing in Hillary Clinton because, of course, they had been rivals for the nomination back in 2008, and then he brought her into the cabinet. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if maybe there's some disorganization. The Kellyanne Conway thing, because you mentioned her, that is very interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall to see what is going on there. And for those who don't know, of course, she kind of took a swipe or two publicly at Mitt Romney, who is being considered, apparently, as far as I know, is still being considered for Secretary of State for the Trump administration. Which, by the way, I don't know. I'd certainly prefer him to Giuliani, because that was the other name being floated, and I don't want Giuliani in there at all. I would prefer Romney. But very interesting, there was a rumor, this is rumor and speculation, that Trump was actually furious with Kellyanne Conway for her comments about Romney. So there does seem to be some sort of dysfunction there. And of course, like I said, too, the early drama of firing Chris Christie and putting Pence in charge of the transition and whatnot. I don't recall another instance of that in modern history happening either. But you know my theory on that, too. I don't think Trump expected to win. So I think he just let Christie kind of do what he wanted because Trump wasn't expecting to win anyway. And then once he won, he said, okay, Chris Christie's a liability. Chris Christie, who apparently, by the way, I saw this right before we got on the air, Chris Christie has thrown his hat in the ring to replace Reince Priebus as head of the RNC, which is shocking to me. Chris Christie's got his own problems to focus on in his own state. But he's still trying to get to D.C. God bless him.
Well, he's doing what he can.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems like now, what does one do with, I mean, does somebody need to shut down his Twitter account? What do you think?
How do you solve
or
a problem?
Or should we look
like
at it as a comic relief?
Well, he did say that he was going to cut down on the tweeting. And he has Newt Gingrich, who is technically a Trump ally. He's a Trump supporter, but he's also not afraid to criticize Trump when he thinks Trump is being ridiculous. And Newt Gingrich said that Trump needs to put somebody else in charge of the Twitter and so that Trump has a filter so that Trump isn't tweeting out ridiculous things like, if you burn a flag, you know, you should have to spend a year in jail. And by the way, for anyone who doesn't understand that and my earlier comment about Trump hasn't read the Constitution, burning a flag, no matter how offensive anyone may think it be, that is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. And I forget who said this originally. I wish I could remember who said this. But the First Amendment is not there to protect popular speech, which doesn't need protection. It's there to protect unpopular speech. So Trump's stupid tweet about how Mike Pence was treated when he went to see Hamilton. Pence, to his credit, handled the whole thing very maturely and correctly when he said, you know, this is what democracy looks like, and I was not offended and have a right to speak up and whatnot. But Trump, with his stupid tweet saying, oh, very unfair, and, you know, I worry about, and I'm sort of half kidding when I say this, but I'm also sort of half serious from a foreign policy standpoint, from a national security standpoint. I worry about him with the Twitter. I worry about some sort of international incident happening because of something stupid and impulsive. And that's probably the right word. It's impulsive, which is kind of what Twitter is designed for. But he, I worry about him saying something impulsively that he really ought not say, which he hasn't done yet in terms of national security, at least in any way that I can think of. And I hope that he doesn't. But hopefully he continues to cut back. But it is entertaining, you're right. And I do enjoy the comic relief of it.
So, now, he got Carrier to keep 1,000 of the jobs that they were going to send overseas here in the United States. They're still sending 1,000 over, but he has been, but he threatened in his campaign that companies that send stuff overseas, which some of Trump's companies do, I mean, just saying, that, you know, he would, there would be consequences for companies that are sending business stuff overseas. And he got Carrier to agree to keep 1,000 of its people. In fact, he was, I think, flying to Indiana tonight in order to, you know, like, take the accolades or whatever for you know, and speak to Carrier's people, because this is one of his promises. So he's kept 1,000 jobs on U.S. soil that were going to go away. 1,000 are still going to go away. But what do you think? Is this the good side of Trump? Is this the stuff we should be looking at?
This is something I appreciate about Trump. Now, I do want to learn more details about this, and I'm going to do some reading about it, because some people, and it may just be anti-Trump people who are finding things to nitpick, maybe, but some people are saying that there's that Trump had some sort of personal stake in this, and that there's a built-in conflict of interest and whatnot. I don't know enough about this to make that judgment. But I will tell you, this is something, if this is a trend, and he, as commander-in-chief, as president, or president-elect, if he can affect this kind of change and get companies to keep jobs here instead of sending them overseas, that's a good thing. And that's one of the things I think about when I say, you know, I'm trying to be, even though I'm not a Trump, I wasn't a Trump supporter, I'm trying to be positive, I'm trying to keep an open mind. There may be some good things here, and this may be one of them. And if this is the beginning of something that happens repeatedly, where he's able to get these companies, however he does it, maybe with tax credits, maybe with publicly shaming them, whatever it is. But if he's able to get more jobs kept here in the United States, that's a good thing. And I, you know, like I said, I didn't support him, but I'll give him all the credit in the world for that. That's great. And I hope to see more of that.
Well, you know, and it's an interesting thing, because the way that it works, obviously, is the company gets this tax break, so they're paying less in taxes. So let's say they're paying $1 million less in taxes so that they can afford to keep more jobs on American soil. Then that money goes to Mr. and Mrs. Joe America, who get to keep their job, who are paying taxes while the company's not paying taxes. But the companies are paying, well, the companies pay half the taxes. I mean, I've been a business owner for 27 years. Every time I have an employee, I'm paying half their taxes. You know, it's not like companies don't contribute to the tax thing for every employee that they have. They do. So if you're giving, you know, so there is a cost there. And isn't it an okay thing to say, hey, look, if you're writing us $1 million a year or a quarter or whatever, your side of tax payment check, then I can give you $1 million tax break, because I'm still going to end up ahead of time. And I'm not having to pay for anything for social services for these people because they have jobs. They're self-employed. I mean, I get that. It's logical to me. I know people are screaming and hollering and yelling, and some people are not going to like the fact that if Trump gets a chance to do what he's going to do, there is going to be a rise of cost of goods sold in this country. If we start blocking cheap imports, if we start throwing tariffs on, if we start doing things, and so how do you feel about that? What
yeah,
you
we
buy
were talking
Walmart
about that.
Is going to go up. Go ahead. Sorry.
We were talking about that the other night on my show, the risk of inflation, which is something we don't see a lot. I mean, we see inflation in certain things like food prices and whatnot, but generally, really for a very long time, we have not seen significant inflation or what an economist would consider significant inflation in our economy in a long time. And that's one of the concerns. And I don't feel like I know enough about this to really speak in depth on it, but I do know from what I've been reading that that is one of the big concerns amongst economists when they look at Trump's plan is a spike in inflation that is going to come. And that, and of course, the other thing is his tax cut goes way too far, too fast. And it's, gradually lowering taxes to stimulate economic growth, I think most economists would agree, can make sense in certain circumstances. And, of course, more conservative economists would say absolutely that's the right way to go. But, to say we're going to take the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15% and that's somehow not going to blow a giant hole in the deficit is crazy. And I certainly hope that that doesn't happen.
Well, and the thing is, and this is my concern, is if you don't hold the fire, these corporations get up, oh, and we're going to be back in a minute for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're challenging everything and everyone. Remember, this is a live call-in show now. You can either call in at 1-202-570-7057, or you can go to Facebook.com and go to Facebook.com/MyDrKevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. You'll see the posting for today's show, and you can post on that. And you can let us know what you think. This is Thirst Quenching Thursday, and I'm here with Matt Connerton, as I always am on the first Thursday of the month, talking about what's going on in the world. And obviously, the name Trump has been going as part of our conversation.
And he wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I know. So let's move on to Standing Rock.
Hmm.
What's going on with Standing Rock? What do you think? And why is the media seeming to not want to cover the atrocities.
Yeah. Well, you know, big media, corporate media is, well, it's exactly that. You very often can figure out who has some sort of financial stake in a particular media property based on what stories that media property will or will not cover. So, for example, I always go to this because it's an easy one. There's been some terrible ecological disasters in this country where, you know, oil spills, where, you know, a tanker full of oil or a train full of oil derails or something, and it creates a big mess and it poisons water and whatnot. And you might, you know, depending on which media you pay attention to, you might be very familiar with the story because it's a huge story, or you might not know a thing about it. And if you don't know a thing about it, it's probably because you're paying attention to media that maybe somebody, maybe that oil company, maybe a subsidiary of that oil company, or whomever, somebody has a financial stake in making sure that that media property does not report on that story. And, you know, big oil and the energy sector, very, very powerful. You know, they have a very large stake in our federal government in Washington, which means they also have a very large stake in the media because, as you know, you've heard me use the term. I need to go back and look up who coined this term immediately, not immediately, originally, because it wasn't me, but it's a corporatocracy. You know, big media, they have to play ball with their advertisers, with their sponsors. So there are certain stories that they won't report on. And of course they have to be careful not to anger or upset too terribly much the establishment in Washington of both parties, because, once you upset them, it limits your access. So that's why they're not going near this story, because they don't want to upset the establishment. Now, there's independent media, like the Young Turks, for example. They've been talking about this a lot. And we've been sharing out on IPM Nation some Facebook Live feeds. You know, Jen's been paying a lot of attention to this story. So it is out there, but you're right. The mainstream media really wants nothing to do with it. And I think it's just because, and it really is this simple, they don't have a good financial reason. An economic reason to report on it. They have nothing to gain from it. And especially, too, if you believe what Republicans always say about how, oh, we have a liberal media, he doesn't want to make Obama look bad. Well, I got to tell you, Obama looks bad on this story because he hasn't shown any leadership. You know, when he's asked about it, what was it, just I think a week ago, he said, well, I'm not really taking a side on this conflict. We're just going to let it play out a little bit. What does that mean? What kind of leadership is that? Zero. He doesn't want to go near it. The president of the United States, who is on his way out the door anyway and really has nothing to lose at this point, doesn't even want to touch this issue. Let it play out, he says. So.
Well, there's a few things. Yep. Well, and I found it was very interesting, and I should probably tag it on your line. I didn't tag it on your line. You've probably seen it. Probably Jen grabbed it and tagged it. But there was this thing about the governor saying that the protesters had to leave. And so I wrote this great big long thing of, like, why does the governor think that he can break federal treaties? Why is a governor not taking the side of his local people? And which of these people are paying him the bribes that don't even live there? And I listed every bank in the U.S. that is supporting this, along with their contact information and their at handle, if I could find it, so that it's there. And one poor guy has his LinkedIn thing on the website, and it seems like every time I copy and paste it, his LinkedIn shows up at the bottom of it. So he's probably going to really hate me.
Good.
But, yeah, I mean, I've got it on my line. I've tried to share it out, but I put it out there, and you know, and I get tons of stuff shared all the time. I mean, you know how active I am in social media. I've had two mm-hmm. people that have shared this. I'm like, that's not normal. This is a hot story. You know, it makes me wonder if some stories actually have something attached to them that makes them not show up as much. It's very possible in today's world of programming. It's very easy to do. If it has this, 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 and this, don't put it through the feed. You could program that.
Right.
So, you know, there's a real question. But 2,000 veterans will join demonstrations against the Dakota Access Pipeline with the idea of giving a break to the water protectors. And they're coming this weekend. So 2,000
vets. I didn't know about that.
Have signed up to go.
Good for them.
And about 1,000 more have said they plan to come, but 2,000 have signed up. The veterans plan to set up December 4th and will stay through at least till the 7th. She added later that some would remain indefinitely. The militarized police paid for by tax dollars is unconstitutional. They're spraying people, even old women, other elders of the tribe with tear gas, pepper spray. There's been some concern that there has been unmarked nighttime flyovers of helicopters and airplanes and stuff like that, that they're actually dropping chemicals on them.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I hope that's not the case. I can't say it would shock me, but I hope that's not happening.
I've heard it from a couple of different sources. There also is saying that they're saying that helping the protesters could get you a $1,000 fine, that the governor and the state is threatening to fine people $1,000 if they go to help these protesters.
Wow.
You know that that's going to end up in court. People are not going to pay those fines.
Yeah, that's unconstitutional. That's a violation. If you're telling someone, I'm going to fine you if you protest, that's a clear First Amendment violation. That's not going to apply.
Nope.
I can't imagine there's a judge anywhere that would go for that. I would hope not.
Now the interesting thing was, and you probably know this, but our listeners may not, is this pipeline was originally set to go under a small upscale, white privileged town or city of some kind. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the information, but and the town voted to not let the pipeline through because it would, you know, affect the beauty in the town and blah, blah, blah. So a bunch of wealthy white people got together and said, no, you can't do this. So they rerouted it because it originally was not supposed to go under this lake and through the Native American lands.
I must confess, Dr. Kevin, I actually did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I have to go. Believe it or not, I love being a UU. Believe it or not, I heard that from my minister from the pulpit this week, and she doesn't talk about stuff that she doesn't have proof for. So I haven't had a chance to verify it myself on the web, but she talked about, because there's been some support from the UU local congregations and national congregations to deliver food and help and do stuff to help support the Native Americans. Anybody that's Unitarian Universalist is going to go, so that's being a UU. Yeah, what's your point? I don't see any traditional, quote unquote, traditional religions showing up and saying, hey, you shouldn't treat people this way. You shouldn't be throwing tear gas at old ladies and tribal elders. They seem to be remarkably quiet as well.
Yes.
Why is the ACLU not getting involved in some of this from a perspective of you're threatening to tax protesters? That's a constitutional issue. That's a sign of militarized dictatorship-like government.
Like, yeah. Well, I would think if they try to follow through on that threat, the ACLU would get involved at that point. I would hope.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of scary because bullying seems to be the way of the day. And mainstream media wonders why 20-somethings and 30-somethings now get more of their news from Comedy Central than from the major networks.
Right.
Because the major networks won't report the news.
Right.
They won't stay on top of things. So
yep, absolutely.
That's why. And what you're seeing is you're seeing more decay and crumbling of institutions that have long outserved their purpose, that no longer serve the purpose they were created for, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And public media is one of those institutions that have become so corrupt and so far away from their original mission of reporting the news to the people that they deserve to crumble and die and go away.
I agree.
And that's the sound of the music, and we are off air. So, did you like
the show?
Bye.